Glory to Jesus. Well, just lift your hands this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of God that is here in this place. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of resurrection, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And Father, we bless you this morning. We honor you, Lord. And we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. And Lord, that we can look to the resurrection, Father God. And we can look, Lord, and see that there is hope in the midst of darkness. And that we are not a people that are left hopeless, Father, in despair. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Father God, we have faith, we have hope, Lord God. And Lord, we have great expectation, Father God, Lord Jesus, for the promises of God, for your word, Father. And the resurrection solidifies, Lord, our faith, our Christianity is based solely on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he's not dead, but he is alive. And therefore he lives, we can live also. We are not just surviving, but we are thriving. Lord, you said you came to give us life and life more abundantly to the full till it overflows. So we thank you for the abundant life, the Zoe life, the God kind of life, the eternal, everlasting life that begins when we received you as Lord and Savior. Eternal life does not begin when we get to heaven. Eternal life begins when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. And the people of God say, amen. Reuben, can we have this put on the side for now? Yeah, thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Boy, after that song, we can have our own personal rapture, right? Hallelujah. Well, bless you for being in God's house this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Can I just working things around here? Everybody smile. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited. How about you? How many of you know if you're breathing, you ought to be praising?
Yeah.
I said, how many of you know if you're breathing, you ought to be praising?
Hallelujah.
All right. Just getting situated. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm excited this morning. How about you?
Amen.
How many of you? How many of you know you're in a Pentecostal church?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
It's okay to respond, right? It's okay to shout, right? We're not shouting just to shout. We have a reason why we're shouting. Amen. We have a reason. I said we should be shouting. Like I said, our Christianity, our Christian faith is based solely that Jesus Christ rose again. Amen. You can look at all the other religious leaders that have passed away. Guess what? They're still in the grave. They're still in the grave. But if you go to Jerusalem, you don't even have to go to Jerusalem. Just take God at his word, in the word. I mean, Elder Lambert have been to Israel, what, three times? Twice? And did you see that the grave was empty? It was empty. Just take Lambert's word. It's empty. You don't have to go there. Praise the Lord. So we get something to shout about. Hallelujah. God's not dead. He's alive. And you know what? He's alive inside of each and every one of us. Yes, he is. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, I pray that you do. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. It's great to see each and every one of you. Praise the Lord for being in God's house this morning. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 1 to 10. Say praise the Lord when you find it. It's okay to respond. Amen. It's okay to respond. I'm giving you permission to respond. You're looking at your Bibles. I got to look at mine too, right? All right. Verse 28, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Jesus had already been crucified, right? So now they're going to the tomb to prepare, they had already prepared spices for his body, right? So they're headed to the tomb. And verse 2, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There was a great earthquake. It wasn't a natural earthquake, it was a supernatural earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. Amen. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a deep faint. Amen. They almost pass out. Amen. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen." Isn't that a powerful statement? He has risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come see where his body is lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also at the same time, they were filled with joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, aren't you glad they went? Amen. Jesus met them and greeted them there, just as the angel said. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, for they will see me there." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and we are so honored for your presence and for your anointing that is present and available now. Lord, we rejoice and celebrate Jesus' complete and total victory by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And you seated him at your right hand, the place of authority. And now he lives forevermore. And therefore, we can also live as well. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen and amen. I'd like to talk to you for a moment and entitle this message, "The Greatest Comeback Ever in History." The greatest comeback in history ever. How many of you enjoy a great comeback story? Yeah? I do. You know, I always advocate and root for the underdog. I always do. I always advocate for the less fortunate, the last to be picked. You ever been the last to be picked on a team? Right?
Yeah.
Because we've all been there, right? We've all experienced that in our lives. Amen. But, you know, we all enjoy a good comeback story. I remember a fight that Muhammad Ali had fought George Foreman in 1978, I believe. The Rumble in the Jungle, it was called. Muhammad Ali was stripped of his heavyweight title and his license. And he fought George Foreman, and he KO'd him in the 8th round. I mean, after 7 years of not fighting, he comes back in the ring, fights George Foreman. I don't know if you guys know George Foreman. The guy is huge. And he knocks him out in the ninth round. That was a great comeback for himself. Amen. But that wasn't the greatest comeback ever. It was a comeback, but not the greatest one in history. But we all enjoy a great comeback story, right? Whether it has to do with a business, whether it has to do with a corporation, a politician, a sports team, or an individual, it's always thrilling and encouraging to see or hear about someone who goes from being on the verge of defeat, maybe a near financial bankruptcy, maybe a failing marriage, maybe having no education, no degree, no business entrepreneurship, maybe a monthly underdog team, maybe a baseball team, football team, whatever, who literally claws their way back, not only beating the odds, but achieving the most impossible comeback ever. Amen. Don't you love those kind of stories? Right? And there are many whom the world have counted them out before they even got started in life. Maybe themselves, they tapped themselves out. Because they were told all their lives, you're worthless, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not handsome enough, you're too short, you're too tall, you're too young, you're too old, your marriage won't last. Basically, what they were doing was speaking curses over you instead of blessings. You're the least likely to succeed in becoming anything useful, worthwhile in your life. Amen. I think some of us can relate to that, right? But praise God. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God that they persisted and they proved them all wrong. Why? Because they rose up above all the odds, the adversity, and they not only conquered, but they triumphed over that situation. Amen. You know, I think about Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite presidents, right? Considered by many to be one of the greatest presidents of all. I like President Reagan as well. But he grew up poor, poverty stricken. He had less than 3 years of formal education. Failed in two different business adventures. Experienced a nervous breakdown. He lost when he ran for Congress. Now, most of us would have given in and given up at this point in our lives, right? And probably pursued another career. But listen, the bleeding goes on. He lost twice when he ran for the Senate. Lost as a vice president candidate. But he pressed, he pushed on, and he kept on keeping on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We need to keep on keeping on when we're faced with opposition and with adversity. Amen. You know, God specializes in the impossibility, right? He makes all things possible when there are impossibility situations. Praise the Lord. My daughter is sitting back there. We were faced with an impossibility in our lives. She was in the ICU. And the doctors gave her a 25% chance of living and recovering. Amen. But the Lord touched her and the Lord healed her. And the Lord, the anointing destroyed that streptococcus type A in her body. And 12 days later, she walked out of that hospital. Amen. She made a great comeback. Hallelujah. That was a great comeback. From death, near death, unto life. Praise the Lord. And some of you who prayed that prayer this morning that Pastor Carol led, some of you went from death, eternal death, unto eternal life. because of what you did in receiving Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. But President Lincoln, I mean, look at the failures, what people look as failures. But he persisted and he pressed on and he kept on keeping on. And finally, he hits pay dirt. Despite of all the setbacks he endured, he made an amazing comeback. And he was elected as the 16th president of the United States of America. Amen. And he led our country to reconciliation, to the Civil War. And he was re-elected again. Amen. Now, can we say that qualifies as the greatest comeback ever? Not really, because it is definitely a good comeback, but not the greatest comeback ever. Amen. The Chicago Cubs, before winning the 2016 World Series, right? I don't know if some of you guys are into baseball. But they won the 2016 World Series Baseball Championship. You see, the last time the Chicago Cubs won was back in 1908. I mean, majority of us wasn't even alive. Now think about that. That's 108 year of drought. The longest in major sports. Amen. But they won in 2006. 108 years. What a comeback, right? But can we say that this qualifies as the greatest comeback ever? It was a good comeback, but not the greatest comeback ever. You see, Jesus' resurrection is the greatest comeback in history ever. Ever. When everything seemed lost, everything seemed dark, and the air was filled with uncertainty and hopelessness, maybe your life might be dark. You might be lost. And maybe you are filled with uncertainty and hopelessness. But everybody say Friday morning.
Friday morning.
On that Friday morning when Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished," as he hung on the cross, that old rugged cross, right? And he gave up his spirit and he died. Not only physically he died, but spiritually, right? To the many who witnessed everything that day, to them it seemed like it was an utter defeat. The devil and his cohorts thought they had finally finished Jesus. We're done with him now. We got him. The Roman soldiers thought they had finished Jesus, because they're the very ones who were crucifying him. The pompous religious elites thought they had finished Jesus. However, as you and I know, that's not what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished," right? That word, "it is finished," was, "it is paid in full." The debt has been paid in full. That's the literal translation. Amen. How many of you know it was Friday, but Sundays are coming? Amen. It was Friday then, but Sunday came. Sunday today. Boom! Victory. The resurrection power. It was a cosmic mic drop from heaven that reverberated and penetrated throughout the heavens, throughout the earth, and under the earth, and throughout hell itself. Amen. Victory reverberated throughout the heavens, right? Host upon host of angelic angels singing, shouting, rejoicing, celebrating the victory of the victorious risen Christ. Amen. Victory reverberating and penetrated throughout the earth were the politicians, right? And the religious leaders who smirked and gloated over their evil scheme are now completely dismayed and disarrayed in total meltdown. Amen. The Bible says what the enemy meant for harm, God will turn it around for the good. Yes, he will. Because God's a good God, right? The victory reverberated and penetrated throughout the pit of hell itself, where the devil and his cohorts and all his demons, their short-lived partying in hell was deliberately cut short and permanently postponed. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, said God. Amen. You know, we have to answer. We have to respond. When the enemy speaks to us, right? He'll always speak words. Negative words. Fearful words. Words that will cause us to be anxious. Words that will cause us to worry. But we have to answer it. Amen. We cannot answer it with our thoughts. We have to answer it with words. Words of faith. Because when words come from the enemy, we have to respond. And that's what the writer is saying. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Right? We condone words that comes from the enemy. How? By speaking words ourselves. Speaking the word of God against those words that are coming against us. Amen. That's how we nullify those words. We condone those words in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So victory reverberated and penetrated throughout the heavens, throughout the earth, and throughout hell itself. Amen. And today, everybody say today.
Today.
In God's house.
Yes.
And throughout the land.
Yes.
The victory of Christ's resurrection power still reverberates and penetrates in the hearts of believers near and far. The victorious, triumphant church of the risen Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Work with me. Can you work with me? Respond. Glory to God. By the very words that the angel spoke, he isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Just as he said would happen. Come and see. Amen. How many of you know the stone was rolled away by the angel? It wasn't to let Jesus out of the tomb, right? It was rolled away to show them the evidence that Jesus, right, that Jesus was very much alive. Amen. And that he had risen. This is the greatest, exponentially the greatest of all time comeback story ever.
Yes.
Do I have a witness this morning?
Yes.
And listen, through God's grace, right? We thank you for God's grace, his unmerited, undeserved favor. Through God's grace and faith in Jesus Christ, we too can experience our own comebacks. From the setbacks and disappointments we have experienced in our own lives. Listen, whatever that setback you may be facing or experiencing right now, no matter what it is, to God, he's setting you up for your greatest comeback ever. Yeah. So never look at those setbacks as a challenge or disappointment. Look at it through the eyes of faith that God is setting you up, amen, for the greatest comeback in your life. A lot of us have comeback stories. Yeah, we do. Amen. You look at the story in the book of Luke, right? The prodigal son. I mean, he went out, right? He asked the father, you know, for all, you know, his inheritance. And the father gladly gave it to him, right? But in order for the father to give him his inheritance, he would have to be dead in order for him to inherit it. So in the eyes of his young son, you are dead to me, Dad. Literally. He wasn't dead physically, but what he was saying, you are dead to me. You mean nothing to me. And he walked away, and he went to a foreign land, and he spent all that he had on righteous living. Amen. Amen. And when he went out and did his stuff, he partied, whatever. How many of you know when you have money, you have a lot of friends? Or what you think they're friends. But when the money runs out, right, where's your friends? They weren't friends from the get-go. So choose your friends wisely. Amen. Amen. It's not based upon what you have money-wise, right? It's based upon your character. It's based upon your relationship with them. Amen. And the Bible says he lost everything. Now he's in a foreign land. He's a Jewish boy, right? And he ends up working at a pig farm. You know, being young, we had a pig farm. We started off with one sow, ended up having 15 piglets. And man, we had a whole bunch of pigs. And my father said, I have a lot of boys, so all these boys can work on the farm. Praise the Lord. So when we got through school, we went to farm, cleaned the pig pen, fed the pigs, do all that stuff. So I know something about raising pigs. It's not fun. It's not fun, especially if you want to play, right? And you know what? When you're cleaning a pig farm, right? All that smell gets on you. So when we were done, right? We're trying to hair up, get everything done. And when we're done, how many can vouch for that? We go play with our friends at the park, and they go, "Oh boy, you smell like the pig pen." We didn't know. It's just that we were just around it. We don't even know. Right? But here you had a Jewish boy who knew the customs of Jewish law. They don't eat pork, and he shouldn't be working around pigs as well. But he was so low in his life, he was desperate. You know, sometimes we get into places of desperation, right? We forget all the things that we've learned during our younger upbringing. But yet, praise God, he had a sense enough. And the Bible says he came into his right mind. When he came to his lowest of lows, right? Sometimes we come into, the Lord just puts these thoughts in our minds. He came to his right mind. And he began to think how good he had it. Living back home with his father. See, this whole story is focused, we focus on the prodigal son, but the whole story is about the father. It's about the father. The love of the father, the compassion of the father. Yeah. The patience of the father. It's all about the father. Our father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? The kingdom come, right? Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Father, let your will in heaven be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Yes. Let it be in my life. Amen. The way that heaven works, operates, let it operate in my life, right here on this earth. So he comes to his right mind, boom, and he begins to remember all the things that he had, how good he had it in life, living with his father. And he begins to turn his heart home. That begins to change his heart towards home. And where your heart goes, everything follows, your body follows. And his body began to follow his heart to go back home. Amen. He was on his way of making one of the greatest comebacks in his life. Yeah. And what is that comeback? Coming back into a right relationship with Father God. His father. See, Jesus didn't come to this earth just to take us to heaven. If you are a believer, that's a done deal for your life. But Jesus came to bring us back into a right relationship with Father God. Yeah, that's what he did. Jesus was the bridge. He was the bridge that filled the gap between you and Father God. Yeah. He became that bridge that joined not God to you. He didn't restore God to you, right? He restored us to him. Because we were the ones that fell. We were the ones that sinned, right? We are the ones that left our place, whatever that is. Amen. It wasn't him, right? He wasn't lost. Do you know that? God wasn't lost. When I hear people say, you know what, I found the Lord. Really? Doesn't it work the other way? Didn't God find you? God wasn't lost. You were lost. But he found you. Praise the Lord. I love it. You know, the Bible says he'll leave the 99. He'll leave all the 99 just to go find the one lost. And you might look at that and you go, that doesn't make sense. Leaving the 99 and forfeiting just for that one. Well, if you're that one that's lost, it does make sense. Right? If you're the one that's lost, and he comes after you, like a good shepherd that he is. So today, Resurrection Sunday. Or we can call it Easter Sunday. We celebrate the greatest comeback in history ever. Amen. Amen. So in our spiritual DNA, right? If you're born again, you have in your spiritual DNA that comeback. You do not have the quit, but you have the comeback inside of you. Because a lot of times we try to quit, but we can't. Because it's ingrained in your spiritual DNA. As a child of God, as a daughter of God, there's no such thing as quit inside your spiritual DNA. If you understand who you are in Christ, and you understand who Christ is in you, right? The greater one that's living inside of you. There's no quit. There's no throwing in the towel. Because the comeback anointing is inside of you. If I can say it that way. Amen. And when you come back in a vengeance. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ speaks of that to us. The greatest comeback ever. Amen. So at this time, we want to transition. If I can have the ushers bring the table here. For those of you who want to receive communion this morning, we're going to have communion this morning. And if you don't want to, that's fine. Praise the Lord. But we're going to break bread this morning. And those who are serving, please come up, please. Thank you. I want to read from Isaiah 53 from the Message translation. And it says, but the fact is, it was our pains. He carried our disfigurements. Interesting, he used the word disfigurements. It means imperfections or our flaws. All things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for our own failures, but it was our sins that did that to him. Amen. He was ripped, tore, crushed. It crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. How many of you know it's God's will for you to be healed and to be whole? And when we talk about whole, it's every avenue of your life. Spiritually, God wants you whole. He wants you whole physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, socially, politically, in all aspects. Total life prosperity, he wants you completely whole. And Jesus provided that for us in Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24. Through his bruises, his wounds, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him, on Jesus. Yeah. Aren't you glad that Jesus, I'm glad, that Jesus went all the way and did what he did. The greatest comeback in history. That secured our salvation and redemption. Not only for us, but for all humanity. Listen, the gift of salvation, right? The gift of eternal life. That's what they are. They're gifts that has to be received by faith. Although it is free, it did not come cheap. Yeah. Somebody had to pay for that gift that we are able to receive. And we know who it is, right? The Bible tells us that Jesus was charged as a criminal. He was spat upon, he was cursed, he was beaten, he was whipped, then was crucified on a Roman cross. Now just imagine with me, just for a moment, the unbearable agony, right? You ever kicked your foot on the side of the bed? Was that painful? You ever hit your head on the above of the shelf? Yeah. You can tell when you're a Christian, when the first thing comes out of your mouth is praise the Lord. I remember I hit my thumb at work one day. Boom. I said, praise the Lord. Went back work, hit the same thumb at the same place. I didn't say nothing. I just looked at that hammer. I said, I'm going to throw you as far as I can. But he was crucified on a Roman's cross. Imagine for the moment the unbearable agony, the excruciating pain that he endured. Now you got to think, he's going through this, right? He's experiencing this. The violent, inhuman death that he had to suffer. All for what? All for what? For the world, for humanity, for us, for you, for me. This is why he was going through it. His love for the Father and his love for each one of us, but not only just us, but every person in this world. And some of them don't know it. So they have to know it. They have to be told that your Father loves you. And just like the prodigal son, they need to make a comeback to the Father. The scripture says that Jesus submitted his will to his Father, and he willingly laid down his life. He obediently went to the cross like a lamb being led to the slaughter. Jesus was God's perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He took away my sins. He took away your sins. The Bible says it was imputed into him. He took it into his account because our account was bankrupt. But he says, I'll take it for you. And he was imputed it into his body. Took your sins and took it into himself. And the blood that he shed was precious blood. It was valuable blood. Distinct blood. It was powerful then, it was powerful now, to cleanse, to forgive, and to redeem. Amen. Mankind from their sins. Forgive us from our sins, the past, the present, and the future. Amen. Christ Jesus has redeemed us from our past. He forgotten and never to be remembered again. So don't remind yourself when the devil comes and tells you, says, you know what? I don't remember. It's in the past. Christ has redeemed me from the past. Yes. He keeps us in the present. He makes us holy and righteous in Christ. And he secures us in our future. Our future is bright. And we get to spend eternity with him. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says, Christ suffered and died for our sins. Once and for all, the innocent for the guilty, to bring you near to God, his body. Being put to death by being raised to life by the Spirit. Amen. The resurrection power is the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave, right? We know he gave his son. Why? Because he saw you, right? He saw me. He saw everyone in the world, right? And when he saw you, he saw me, he saw everyone that he created in his image likeness. He turned to Jesus and he said, Son, go. They are all worth it. Yeah, they are all worth it. Just receive and respond to God's amazing love this morning. And let the Holy Spirit embrace you. Amen. And comfort you. So when you receive your elements, just hold on to it and we're all going to pray. Thank you. And then we're all going to partake together. All right? Praise the Lord. I remember doing a communion in the MCCC, Maui Community Correctional Facility. The men broke, we broke bread. They all had their bread. And I went back to the table. And I looked, hey, where is you guys' bread? Oh, we ate them already. I said, you guys are supposed to wait. Here, take some more bread. Amen. See, when I do communion in the facility, I take a big loaf of sweet bread. So all they do is come and they rip off what they want. So some guys will rip a big piece, right? That's what you call a communion. Hallelujah. Sister Elizabeth, come. Sing us, give her the mic. Sing Because He Lives. Yeah? Thank you.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know he holds my future, And life is worth a living just because He lives. Sing with me. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And because I know, He holds my future. And life is worth a living just because He lives.
And life is worth.
And life is worth a living just because He lives.
Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your amazing love and grace as we partake of Holy Communion together. Lord, we rejoice in Jesus' triumphant victory through His death, burial, and resurrection. The greatest comeback in history ever over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is alive and He lives, and therefore we can live too and enjoy the abundant, eternal, everlasting life that He provided for us. Lord, bless us with lives that glorify You and reveals the power of Your love through each and every one that is here this morning. The Bible says the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given it thanks, broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the wafer this morning. Now, if you need healing for your body at this moment, as we read Isaiah 53, Jesus' body was broken. He was wounded. 41 minus 1 stripe. Amen. So that he could provide healing for each and every one. So by faith, if you need healing for your body, for whatever it is, release your faith based on what the Word of God says in Isaiah, that by His stripes that you are healed. In 1 Peter chapter 1:24 just confirms that by His stripes we were healed. So if you need healing this morning, just receive that by faith. Say, "Lord, I believe I receive all that You have for me, all that belongs to me. I receive it in faith in Jesus' name." Amen. After the same manner, He took the cup, saying, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's receive of the cup together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And declare this after me. Father God, we say thank you for this covenant that we've entered into at the new birth. A covenant filled with exceeding great and precious promises. The Word of God. And we are partakers of those promises. Right now, I am healed, I am made whole, redeemed, delivered from spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, so that the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant now operates in my life. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I am blessed of the Lord and highly favored of God. Everything that I set my hands to do prospers. I can have what I say when I say by faith or what God's word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, somebody give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus.